service because of your prayer. I want to say that I thank you already for your prayer. I really do. A couple of people asked about some prayer cards and leaflets last night, and I don't know why I haven't brought any. I don't know. Just maybe a lot of things in my mind, but I brought some prayer cards and leaflets tonight, and be sure to get you one of those if you don't have one. And we'll put them over here. I don't mean to cover up the communion table, but remind you to pray for us and pray for the mission work. Pray for one of our truck drivers. He's been so good to drive for us for what now, 4 years, I think, 4 to 5 years. And he had to have cataract surgery on one of his eyes today. They didn't call me any about it or anything until it was all over. And they said he done very well, and his wife already got him home. And then 1 month, he has had surgery on the other one. It just flared up all of a sudden. He didn't realize, he just knew his vision wasn't what it used to be. And he thought he probably needed glasses. And the doctor said, no, you need surgery. And so he had cataracts. And so James Woods, you pray for him, that God will bless him real good. And I want to say tonight for the song, Beulah Land. I've got a friend down around Fort Bragg. I get to go down there and preach about 2 or 3 times a year. They'll invite us down. And get to go down there and meet him probably about every 18 months or so. He invites me down for a meeting. But he tells me all the time, he said, I've lived for 50 whatever years in Beulah Land. His wife's name is Beulah. Amen. And so he's always talking about. He's about 80 years old. And I believe it's the last time he said that is about 57 years that he had lived in Beulah Land. And of course, everybody there knows what he's talking about, but I'll tell you what, that's good. And then, I want to die on the battlefield. I'll tell you what, isn't that a sobering thought? Boy, how real. How real. My. That ought to be every one of us' heart's desire. Amen? Well, I tell you, praise God. You don't hear that song much anymore, but I love it. I loved it the first time I heard it. Kind of scared me. I thought, well, I tell you what, I don't want to get a hold of it too much. Praise God, this battlefield might get pretty hard. But you know what I found? Praise God, I tell you what, I just like it. There's a song about it. I'm a winner either way. Doesn't make any difference. I'm a winner either way. So everything's okay. Amen. And this brother here tonight, boy, I tell you what, praise God. If I could sing, that's all I'd do. I'd sing. I would. I can't sing a lick. My wife can't either. But we're two of the greatest singers you've ever heard in your life around the house. I am. I don't believe anybody can out-sing me around the house. I believe I'm top-notch. I really am. Something happens between the house and the car. Amen. Then from the church, it just falls apart. I want to tell you a mission story very quickly, and we'll get on in the Word of God. I kept you too long last night, and I'm glad some of you came back tonight. Amen? And we'll try to be more gracious tonight. Certainly do pray for us, and I just enjoy being here. I enjoy being at Mountain Ridge Baptist Church. It's an honor and a privilege, and y'all make me feel so welcome. And I tell you what, I want to say that I appreciate that. I truly do, from the depth of my heart. But somebody's asking me about my Bible cover. And never have used a Bible cover up until last August. And I never did. My wife had bought me one years ago. I think I used it about 2 or 3 times. And I put it in the desk drawer and never did get it back out. And so I just never have. I've had one or two give me a Bible cover. And I just never did, preacher. I don't know why. No particular reason. But the reason that I have this cover on this Bible, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was helping in a meeting in Lander, Wyoming. Matter of fact, it was the first meeting that ever helped me out west. And, we just had a great time. Well, God burdened me to go up in northern Wyoming on my way back home. Didn't know anything about Wyoming. Didn't know anybody in Wyoming. Except Brother Jeff Curry in Lander, Wyoming. He's the only one I knew. And but I drove around up in the northern part of Wyoming, came across a stretch of road. If you've ever been to Buffalo, Wyoming, or Sheridan, and then you want to go to Gillette, but you don't want to take the interstate, and I can't remember exactly, but I believe it's Highway 1916 or something like that. But anyhow, it's the old road that goes from Buffalo or Sheridan over to Gillette. And I got on that old road going over through there, And as I went through there, God just began to burden my heart and work on me in a way that I wasn't sure about. It was an area I knew nothing about, an area I knew nobody. But anyhow, as I came through that way, God began to burden my heart. All of a sudden, I saw a sign that said Arvada. And I'd heard stories about Arvada. There's an old Methodist church in Arvada, church building. And two ladies, they shut it down. The preacher had died out or left, and no one came. And these two ladies had never married. They bought that building. And for 30 years, from what I had heard, preacher, they had been praying in that building, praying that God would send a preacher to Arvada. I had heard that, and I didn't even know where Arvada was on the map. I'd been trying to find it. It's a little town. It's got so many people in it. It's about 30 people. And so that tells you how big the town is. And so anyhow, then there's another little town there, a little community called Spotted Horse, population 2. And then you come on down the road, and there's Recluse, Wyoming, and Recluse, that's over there. And I didn't go to Recluse, population 8. But all these little communities have got people all back in these mountains. But just who lives around the post office is all they count. And every one of them little communities has a post office. Every one of them's got a postmaster. I'll bring a little book tomorrow night. And it's got postmarks in all these little towns, or these little communities. Anyhow, Arvada, Spotted Horse, Recluse, and there's a place called Story, a place called Hewlett. But you drive in that 90-mile stretch of road, and you'll find that there's about 11 of those little communities and towns that has no one there preaching the gospel. And I didn't know this till sometime later, because I knew nothing about the area. But God burdened my heart to do something there, and didn't know what to do. And I found out there's a missionary in Gillette, Wyoming. Got in touch with him. We talked about it, prayed about it for a while. And we went out and had a tent meeting. And this missionary got permission to set this tent up in a field. And preacher, I thought that was the dumbest thing that a man's ever done on planet Earth. Much less America. That tent set out there in the middle of a field, just a little brown spot looking tent. Big tent. It holds about 100 or so people. You know, pretty large tent. But as you come over the hill, that highway, it's a brown speck out there. That's our tent. There ain't a house in 2 miles of the tent. There ain't nobody lives around there. And the nearest little community is a population 8, Recluse, Wyoming. And I asked the preacher, I said, why did we put the tent up there? He said, that's the only place I could get permission. And I'm thinking, well, that's a good one. That's pretty good. You got to have permission. We had to run generators. And it was like a hurricane every day out there. The wind blowed 60, 70 miles an hour. That tent, I'd go over the hill, that tent be blown up like a big old hot air balloon. And I'm thinking, God, if you don't do something about that tent, God, they'll wind up Wyoming before dark. And every night it was cold. It'd be down in the 30s and cold. And my brother-in-law went with me when we went out to hold the meeting. And he didn't take his coat. He's not real bright. He's my brother-in-law. And it was last of April. Well, in Wyoming, it snows in April. And it snowed while we were there. And my brother-in-law didn't take a coat. So I had this big old coat that I took, so when I got done preaching, I'd have a coat. And every night, I'd look out there through the crowd, and there sat my brother-in-law with my big old coat on. But there was people come out of them mountains. 30, 40, 50 people. Preacher that came out of them mountains.
Yes.
Said, we've never had anything like this. And today there's a church, Recluse Baptist Church.
Amen.
There because of that.
Yes.
And I thank God for that. Yes. I met a family there, the Nelson family. And you might think maybe you don't make a difference or whatever, but it does make a difference to follow the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And I met this dear lady, Ms. Nelson. She's just the sweetest lady. And she had 3 children, 2 girls and a boy. They're grown. I don't know where the husband or dad's at. I've never asked. None of my business. I've never inquired about the dad. I've never inquired about the husband. But anyhow, she's got a daughter. It's the middle child. Her name is Justine. And the Nelson family live in a straw house. I've been to their house. They are sheep herders. They raise sheep out there. And they built a house out there. They stacked up bales of hay or straw and put these metal rods down through those bales of straw, and that's their house. They have no electricity, no running water. And they're just the sweetest family. And they've been so faithful to Recluse Baptist Church. We live way back in the mountains. And Miss Justine made my wife and I a Bible cover. And it's just pretty special.
Yes, sir.
It really is. Told my wife, I said, never use Bible cover, but I believe we'll use this one. And that's the reason I use this Bible cover. And I love it. I don't care to draw attention. I love telling about it. Miss Justine made that for me. My wife's got one. She just doesn't like the smell of leather. And it's genuine leather. And so she doesn't use hers. And when I wear this one out, I'm going to use hers. It's got roses all around it. And I say, preacher, what will people think of you? When I wear that out, I'll be a long time gone in heaven. Amen. But anyhow, that's just pretty special Bible cover. And I may tell you this week about the story about the apron that God gave me one Saturday. Preacher, I don't know. Did I tell you about the apron? I did. I got to tell you about that one night. I'll tell you about the apron. And I told Miss Justine that she said she's going to make the Bible cover. She said, what do you want on it, preacher? I said, well, I want a cross on it. And I said, Miss Justine, obviously the rest of it up to you. And I said, the wife told her, she said, I want flowers on mine. And so she put these oak leaves and these acorns on that Bible cover. And I couldn't do anything but cry when I got it, because she'd never heard the story about one day when I got so discouraged. I was wore out, beat down, just beat up, you might say. And God all of a sudden began to show me something that touched my heart in a way that made me want to die on the battlefield. My Lord, really did. It is so good to be here tonight. I want to thank you for all the food. I tell you what, that was wonderful last night. And I want to say that I appreciate all of that. And I really do. And I appreciate the offering that was received for us tonight. I want to thank you for that. I tell you, I truly do. Whatever you gave or didn't give, I still thank you tonight. And I want to say, what an honor to be here this evening. All right, have your Bibles. Turn with us over in the book of John, chapter number 20. I know probably just a few days ago, you probably heard the greatest message that ever came through the planet on the resurrection. And that's okay. I'm glad you did. Probably heard it from Alan Fox. And so anyhow tonight, but I'd like to just mention a few things.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, the resurrection is real special.
Yes.
Praise God, we're the only one, preacher, that can preach that. No other religion, praise God, can preach that. I tell you what, praise God, whoever their founder was, he died a long time ago, or yet he's still living and will die. Whatever that it might be. And I tell you, the Bible says, he said there'll be those that'll come and say that here's Christ, or there's Christ. He said, don't even check it out. Don't even go look about that. Because I'll tell you, there's only one Lord and Savior. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you what, praise God. He paid a great price for you and me. And I'm so glad that he did tonight. And I'll tell you, the preacher was talking about Calvinism and things like that. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of deception in the day and in the hour that we live in, friends. And I'll tell you, it's been going on down through the ages. I want you to notice one thing tonight. I believe the devil sure is working overtime. And I believe he's working hard to get people deceived in these last days and get them thrown away. And if he can't do that, a preacher is trying to stir up confusion where the children don't know what to believe in. I tell you what, you know why God said those false prophets and unbelievers, he shall not unbelievers, but those and that try to spread a false doctrine. You know why God says you don't even invite them into your house, and neither do you bid them Godspeed. Honey, God don't want them coming into your house. It may cause some doubt and confusion in your children. Honey, I'm going to tell you, they ain't coming into my house. I'll talk to them out the front door. They ain't getting in. I had one lady one day. She said, can I come in? I said, well, I don't mean to be not good to you or anything, but I said, ma'am, you just ain't coming in my house. And so anyhow, she looked at me, and it's about 120 degrees outside, and she looked at me like, you're going to let me stand here in your front yard and die? And I'm thinking, yeah, probably so. I'll die 911 when you collapse, but you ain't coming in my house. And I'll tell you what tonight, but anyhow tonight, have your Bibles over in John chapter number 20. I want to read just a few verses to you tonight. Anyhow, it's all about of Jesus, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word of God, how that would be okay. That'll give you an opportunity to stretch your legs a little bit. And so anyhow, you pray for us tonight that God would help us now for a little while. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said, in the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. He said, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and come first to the sepulchre, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and yet went he not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Now Christ had been telling them, he had given them all kinds of things to let them know that this would take place. But yet I tell you what, they just couldn't believe it, and they just couldn't understand it. And friend, I tell you, it was a sad day for them, not realizing, preacher, that it was one of the most rejoicing times that they could imagine. But to them, their hearts were broken, and to them, it was a sadness and a time for mourning. Not only had the Lord died on the cross, but I'll tell you what, somebody had come along and he stole his body, and they had gone away with it. Let me read just a little bit farther, and the Bible said this. He said, then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away, and I like this, they have taken away my Lord. Amen. But it wasn't just anybody missing. It wasn't a friend or a relative. She said, somebody has got my Lord, and I don't know where he's at. And she said, now they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. In verse 17, and Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but I go unto my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Yes. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her.
Amen.
I just want to preach tonight with God's good help. What a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior that we have tonight. Let us go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father God, we come to you, Lord, and don't get away. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this lamb to come tonight. What an honor and privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful singing that we've already heard tonight. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for everything that's already been said. This evening, Lord, it's just been a blessing to our hearts. And Father, we just ask tonight, Lord, you know the need right now. And God, you know the need upon every heart. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building tonight. Father, you're able to meet each and every need. Father, we pray most of all things one of the midst tonight. Lost on that road to hell. I pray tonight to be that good night, Lord, and get saved by your wonderful grace. And then, Father, we pray for the meetings round about us. Lord, I pray for revival meetings going on tonight. Lord God, you bless your men and bless your people that gather. Now, Father, this is sir. I need your help tonight. Oh, God, would you just take us and use us? And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we only pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.
to be seated tonight. And I'll tell you what, we just want to try to just update it tonight. Just, oh, what a wonderful Savior that we have. Thank God, I'm glad tonight that I know Jesus. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you, not only do I know Him, but I'm glad, thank God, He knows me. And He knows me by name. I believe I told you about the young preacher that came to my house just the other day. And this young preacher, he seemed to think that I was called into the mission field. And he helped me just begin to talk. And I finally was over at him, preacher. And I said, his name was Brian. I said, Brian, I just got a question for you. And I've done asked him a few. I said, does God know your name? And Brian looked at me and he said, why, yeah, He knows my name. And I started to ask him, did he have the hairs of his head number? But I got to looking at Brian, and I could have numbered the hairs on his head. He didn't have about a half a dozen sticking out here and yonder. And so I just bring that subject up. Amen. But anyhow, I said, Brian, I said, preacher, if God knows your name, praise God, He must know your address. He must know everything about you. And so therefore, if He wants you on the mission field, He's able to come to where you are and get you going in that direction. Amen. I said, I wouldn't discourage you for nothing in the world. But friends, I want to tell you something right now. You better make sure that it's the will of God for whatever you do for the Lord. But I'll tell you what, you find yourself out there in a place. I remember having a pastor one time that he thought that God had called him to go to Detroit, Michigan up there and to start a church. He said, I got from Detroit, Michigan, and this had been back years ago when the car business was moving. Everybody's up there making $10,000 a hour building automobiles and sending them to North Carolina and sell them to us, and we're making $2 an hour and trying to pay for them. And brother, I tell you what, my pastor said, he went to Detroit, he said, and he said, I tell you what, he said, honest to God, I couldn't find a job nowhere. He said, we like to starve to death. I had to borrow money to get back to North Carolina. And he said, you know what I learned all that? If you ain't had food before God did, you better stay in the house, amen. He said, we like to die up there. Man, I'll tell you something tonight. And I'm glad, thank God, we got a wonderful Savior tonight. And He's able, thank God, tonight to get us pointed and going in the right direction. I'm glad that He has a plain path. I'm glad that He's able tonight. And I'll tell you, tonight He's able to guide us. And brother, I'll tell you what, and brother, we'll wind up right where He wants us to be. I mean, I like this. This is not something that's genuine from me or original, I say. But I heard a dear old man of God make this statement. He said this. He said, you know what? When you're in the will of God, you can never be a failure. Oh, I want you to know this. I may not be first in the race, but thank God I tell you from the pit. I don't want to come in late. Hallelujah to God. I want to be a faithful in the race. But anyhow, we found up here of a story about Jesus. But I'll tell you what, it's just not just a story. But I mean, brother, it's a fact. And I'll tell you one day that God needed a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And God chose His prophet, a perfect lamb. Been chosen from the very foundation of the world. And brother, I'll say the day and the time come when He is born of a virgin, and brother, belong for 33.5 years on planet Earth. And then, preacher, the day come when that father's lamb was marched to Calvary's Hill and to hang on an old rugged cross between heaven and earth. And my head, and there to take the dead of mankind. And I'm just thinking about that little old lamb. Brother, I'll tell you what, they'd bring that lamb down there to the priest. And brother, it was supposed to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. And brother, I can imagine that priest. He got that lamb and he looked it over and he checked it out and he didn't see any spot. But that old lamb's got wool on it. And brother, I'll tell you what, and so that priest, he began to run his fingers and bound through that wool and to see if there are any blemishes on that lamb. Hallelujah to God. Brother, I'll tell you what, one day, one evening, I was down in the garden. I dealt with it. When it came, and there were great drops of blood. I flew over there in the garden. When it said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass for me. I think God Himself, with a comb in His hand, down through the wall, and the feet of His darling son, knowing that there was no spot or blemish, knowing that He had committed no sin, but just because. Come tonight, I brought you the love, and it's not the perfect, spotless lamb. things. Don't you worry about that. Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus, he that knew no sin, became sin for you and I. He went to the cross, and I'll tell you what, praise God, paid the ultimate price for you and I tonight, friends. Friends, I'll tell you something right now, I'm glad. Oh, what a wonderful Savior that he is. And he paid such a price for you and I. And that he had laid out his life for his friends. And he would do that no one else could do. And I tell you, thank God tonight for a wonderful Savior. And I want to mention four things that tonight we find in these scriptures. Friends, I tell you what, and that's a blessing to my heart. And after Calvary, and they take him down and they place him there in a barred tomb. And brother, I tell you what, and they put him down there in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And brother, I tell you what, and they put a stone over the tomb. And brother, I tell you, they put a watch over it, and they got guards down there. And that's nobody but be able to steal away the body of Jesus. And brother, everything is set in order from the king's house all the way down. And they want to make absolutely sure. And so therefore, the high priest and everybody wants to make sure that the blessed Lamb of God doesn't get stolen away. And I tell you something tonight, but on that first day of the week, when the earth began to quake, and brother, I tell you what, and the little stone got pulled away, and those markers and his dead men. Every time I read that picture, I make me want to shout when I think about them men that were bold, had their swords and their knives, and they're ready to fight any man. This stone will not be moved. And then all of a sudden, the ground began to tremble, and the stone began to roll away. And then Moses said, why, we can't do a thing about it. And they had passed on. What are they saying? Lord God, I tell you what, they weren't as tough as they thought they were. They fainted. Brother, I'll tell you what, but Mary came. Mary Magdalene, she comes down to the tomb. She gets Peter and John, but she comes, she hangs around. She likes some of them dear old Christians, preacher, they just like to hang around. Hey, man, they come down to the house of God. Every time they get an opportunity, they show up, amen. I don't care if you're cleaning up the house. I don't care if you're out there weeding around the tombstones. I don't care what you're doing. I want you to know this one thing. Mary looks in the tomb, and she sees these two angels. Brother, I'll tell you what, sitting there in white apparel. And they said, whom do you see? And she said, somebody has taken my Lord. Brother, I'll tell you, then about that time she turned around, not knowing what to do. And then something happened. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And the Bible said this. Looking down, if you would, the Bible said, about in verse number 15. And brother, I'll tell you what he said. And Jesus saith unto her, a woman, why weepest thou? Of whom seekest thou? Now listen, friend, she didn't know that it was the Lord. And she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him. And you listen to me tonight. She looked around there, and you know what she saw? She just saw, oh, I looked to her like a common man. Brother, I'm glad I did that one day. And I thank God. I thank God he's a common man Savior. Hallelujah to God tonight. Brother, I'll tell you right now, I'm glad, praise God, he went along the seashore. He saved the fisherman. He went down there with the tax office. He saved the tax collector. Hallelujah to God. I'll tell you what, he came down through the gutters and the slums of this whole world. And brother, I'll tell you what, and what the world thought was just old side ditch trash. I mean, I'm glad I got a Savior tonight. And love me enough. I'm glad to come to the side ditch I've been. And he loved me enough to save me. I'm glad, thank God tonight. He's a common man Savior, amen. We find in the Word of God that where, brother, I'll tell you what, where the children of the coming to him. Oh, preacher, I'll tell you what, it wasn't because he handed out candy, it wasn't because he gave them money, it's just simply because, brother, I'll tell you, it was the sweetness about him, a little bit of passion about him. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Man, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what, he went down there on the hillside, and the preached the Word of God, and thousands would show up. A preacher, I'll tell you what, and I said, they come to hear the Savior. Oh, God, he gives them bread and fish. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you something right now. Oh, what a blessed Savior. I mean, I'll tell you what. He went over there to the Gadarean maniac. There he was. He was a wild man. He was
in the tomb. They changed his mind, and he broke the fetters, and he lived naked in the tomb. And one day, Jesus sailed across the sea to go after that one man. I'll tell you what, I want you to know tonight, our Savior's wonderful. My God, he's so glorious. He's so precious tonight. I want you to know this. When people look upon him, I'm glad when I saw him, when I was in my need, I saw somebody that would love me, that would help me, that forgive me, that praise God. I was straightened out my life. I'm glad when I saw him, I seen somebody that cared enough about me, that was able to take my sin away. When she looked around, she just supposed him to be the gardener. Brother, I'll tell you what, people sometimes, I believe, preacher, they get this idea that Jesus is this or that. The Bible said, and he came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Right.
Amen. That's what he came for.
Yeah.
To save old sinners. Amen.
Right.
That's the reason that he went to the cross.
Yeah.
And the Bible said, for God so loved the world. And he said, he's only begotten Son. And God the Father gave God the Son on Calvary's hill for your sins and mine. And friend, I tell you something right now. The Lord of glory came all the way from heaven. And it took on a robe of flesh. And that he said, by our sins. And friends, I want you to know this tonight. I'm glad, thank God, I've had an old boy, 22 years old. His life was a wreck. His life was a mess. His life was a shambles. And one day when I saw him, hallelujah to God. Honey, I'll tell you what, I didn't see him, preacher. I couldn't tell you really exactly how I saw him. But I know this one thing. I knew if I got any help, I knew if I got any need, I knew if I was alive. Say tonight, thank God, I tell you what a wonderful Savior. Boy, I tell you what, he loves the common man. The Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Mary looked around and saw Jesus, she destroyed the common man. Brother, let me tell you something right now. Praise God, he was more than a man. Hallelujah, he was. Boy, I tell you what, he was more than a prophet. Lord God, I tell you, he was more than a preacher.
Yeah.
He's the Lord, amen. And he has somebody. That's not my Lord. And I'll tell you something tonight. I'll tell you, if you're tired of living life on your own, if you're tired of going your own way, and you're tired of walking your own path, and you want God to change your life, I'll tell you what, I talked to Brother Michael Smith down at Oxford this morning. I'll tell you, Brother Smith, I just met him a week or two ago, and we got to talking about the flowers and the trees and how beautiful they were. He had just got back from Kentucky. I've been over there in the meeting. I've been in the last week. And Brother Smith and I got to talking. I said, Brother Smith, I said, I ain't never seen it. Well, I could see it. I said, it's beautiful. I was telling about coming over here. And I said, on the way over across that little mountain, I said, Brother Smith, I said, I've never seen it. That's a beautiful place just like God dug up all the old. And God planted everything that new. When I said that, Brother Allen thought, I thought Brother Michael Smith was going to come through the phone. He started crying. He started thanking the Lord. He said he must have did. He said what God does, he makes it all new. He always does. And friends, I tell you something right now. He's such a precious Savior. He's such a wonderful Savior. He may look like a gardener in somebody's eyes. He may not seem like he must in this world's eyes. He's the only one that can make all things new tonight. He gives you a brand new life. I've seen him do it time and time and time and time again. Then we found it down here. He may have just been a common man's Savior, and he still is. He loves the common man. I'm glad Hollywood can't buy it. Preacher, they may have the money. Oprah may be a billionaire. I'll tell you, Oprah Winfrey can't buy Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah to God.
Right.
Bill Gates, I don't know what. I don't know what he's worth. He's worth more than I am. Money-wise, this world thinks more of him than do me. And that's okay. I don't even care. I don't lose no sleep over that. That man's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. And Lord God, I'm so
so glad Bill Gates came by Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah to God. Boy, I'll tell you what. He may have bought out some of these big wig companies, and he may have overthrown them and taken them over, and he may have done some things. I don't know what all he's done, but I know this one thing tonight. Thank God I'm glad tonight. Out of the poor boy, out of the man that has nothing. Last Wednesday night, I was over at the prison of preaching, and I'll tell you what, I got to preaching on just how sweet Jesus is. Hallelujah to God. And how he gives you a brand new life. Lord God, I tell you what, I got it there on Wednesday night. Just to be honest with you, preacher. Before I ever got to preach, I read my scripture, and I'll tell you about that time God burdened my heart to give an invitation immediately, and I gave an invitation immediately. Oh, me, preacher, isn't that a little bit backwards? I'll tell you, God moved in that prison. There was a sergeant sitting in there, and I'll tell you what, that sergeant comes in every once in a while when I'm over there preaching, and he probably does for the other men. And I'll tell you what, and I got to talking about how sweet the Lord is. How good he is, how much he loves us, and maybe kind of along the lines of tonight. But I tell you, and I said, I was hitting me, but there's a great big old black guy. He come rolling out of that seat, and he came down and looked at me, and he said, preacher, I need to be saved. And I looked at God, and I was hard for him to come in front of all them inmates. I said, son, do you really want a new life? Are you sick of the old life? You sick of living the old way? He said, I'll take all of it. He said, I need to be saved. I come into the plan of salvation in the Word of God. Thomas bowed right there in front of everybody. And asked Jesus into his heart. And he said, you something. I need such a wonderful Savior. Lord God, you go to the prison, preacher. He'll go with you. You go down to the county jail. He'll go with you. You go down to Skid Row. He'll go with you. You go down to under. And the world. And society has cast them all away, and they care nothing for them. How are we going to save them tonight? He loves them all. He loves them all. Brother, he saved old Thomas, I believe, last Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, sir, preacher, what makes you think you got it? We got strict rules. Had to go to a meeting here the other day. Well, it was about a month ago. I've done everything the other day. My wife will tell you that. I'll be preaching on something, and I'll say the other day, she said, honey, that was 2 years ago. I said, well, it wasn't today. So I'd be the other day. Just like when you just ain't got 2 days to say, that's so anyhow. But the other day, I go to a meeting. Those men have to go drive straight back to their dormitories. Immediately after the service, they cannot speak to you. They cannot have any contact with you. Immediately when the invitation is over and the last amen is said, they're to go immediately back. I don't know what happened over there. But anyhow, they decided no more contact with anybody as soon as that service is over. Everybody's going to their dorm. But Thomas. Thomas came over where I sat. He said, preacher, I need some help. I said, what's the matter? He said, I don't even know where to start. He said, we'll be a good place for me to start. I said, get in that book.
Right.
I said, boy,
yeah,
let's start.
Right.
Get in the book.
Right.
And I said, Thomas, get on your knees.
Yeah.
Tell somebody what God's done for you.
Yes.
And I said, that'll be a good starting place for you.
Right.
Friends, I tell you what, and I thought, Thomas, you're going to get thrown out, and I am too. Because I had to sign a paper that I'd have no, we tried it, couldn't have it. I guess I just signed a lie. Amen. Let us have told me that. Praise God. I tell you what, I just had that boy. Boy, I tell you, it's a blessing to do so. What I'm saying tonight, friend, is this. He's just a common man's Savior.
Yes.
Lord God, I tell you what, He'll save you. I don't care where you're at, who you are, what you've done.
Right.
He'll save you. We was down in New Mexico a few weeks before, the other day. Anyhow, the other day we was in New Mexico. I tell you what, to this man, I'll never forget it. He came up. He's 36 years old, and this is what he said. Invited him to church and asked him if he knew Jesus as his Savior, asked him something like that along them lines. He started crying and tears and getting rubbed down his face. And he said, the Lord can't help me because I murdered my wife. And preacher, the first thing I thought is he took a gun and killed her. Or he beat her to death. That's what I thought, Brother Ken. His first thought to run through my mind.
This man says he murdered his wife. That's what he said. And he said, the Lord can't help me. Got talking with him come find out 2 years ago. He was driving drunk and his wife got killed in a car wreck. In the car, the automobile that he was driving, he was flying down the road. And he was drunk, and when he wrecked and crashed the car, it killed his wife. And he said, she hadn't done anything. He said she was a good woman and never harmed anybody. And he said, I killed her, and God can't forgive me of that. Well, preacher, I'll tell you, in about 30 minutes, that old boy's on his face asking the Lord Jesus to save him and forgive him of his sins. Brother, he came up saying, I got it. Hallelujah to God. And brother, I believe God has forgiven him. Honey, God will even go down yonder. Brother, I'll say to that crowd, honey, I'll tell you what, that even in their heart, they feel like there's no way. I can't be forgiven. I can't get it settled. I can't have something new. I can't have peace. I can't have, praise God, the blood of Jesus applied to my life. Honey, he's a common man, Savior.
That's right. Yeah.
Then the Bible said, looking on down, she supposed him to be the gardener, verse 15. He said, now if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Look what she said, and I'll take him away. You know, preacher, what I think about, I don't know how big the Lord was. We don't have a Polaroid of him. And I don't know just what he weighed. I don't know just exactly what his physical features was. But I'll tell you, let's just say the Lord weighed 150 pounds. And I don't know how big Mary was. But I just think of Mary as maybe a sort of a small petite woman. I don't know why. Praise God, she might weigh 240 and 6'5". I don't know. I don't know how big Mary was. But I had a brother that was paralyzed. And my brother, he was 6'5". And my brother, when he finally passed away, he weighed 151 pounds. And preacher, he couldn't help you do anything. He laid in the hospital bed and he couldn't do a thing. And I stretched out and I thought about my brother. And I tell you what, the baby that boy was a child. His arms felt like they weighed 50 pounds apiece because he couldn't help me. And you had to pick him up, you had to roll him over, you had to take care of him, just like a little child. And I'll tell you what, and I said that one day, and I'm thinking, how's that little woman going to pick up Jesus? That's one thing that I believe. She was telling that gardener, she supposed. She said, listen, I'll do everything I can. I'll get it my all. Hallelujah to God, I'll get it my best. I'll get him there, and I'll get down to business. If you let me know where he's at, Lord God, I tell you what, I'll water him up on my back. I'll build a sled and I'll drag him. But somehow or other, I'll give him off of your hand, and I'll take care of his body, and I'll adorn it, and I'll anoint it, and I'll take good care, and I'll make sure it's prepared right. If you'll just let me know where it's at, I'll tell you something. On planet Earth, besides my wife, of course. And so anyhow, she's the sweetest little thing. And I get so tickled at her. Oh, I tell you, that little girl loves Paul and she loves me, Mom. She's me, Mom's girl. She's done her wrong. She does. She's your fault, man. I just want you to know. I'm going to tell it publicly. Now, little girl's rotten. And I tell her, I call her Toot. I say, Toot, you're rotten. She'll say, Paul, to the core. And you won't be worth 2 cents.
But she did draw her out. We got to do something. We're going to have to send her somewhere to get some help.
She's just the sweetest little thing. But when it comes time to go home, my wife homeschools her during the day. When it comes time to go home, you ought to be at our house. Right? You've got that little girl. She'll make a wide berth around home. And if I get my hands on her, I get a little sugar. I do. I get me a little sugar off old Tooth. And so little old Tooth, she tells me all the time, she says, Meemaw gets it first. So Meemaw gets it, you know what I tell her. I said, come here, all love leftovers. I said, leftovers is my favorite. I said, you always give me what I want the most is leftovers. Every once in a while, she forgets, she'll come over there and she'll say, oh, I'm going to let you have some first. It doesn't happen often, the preacher. I'm telling you, it don't happen very often. Maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, she'll come over and she'll say, I know you like leftovers, and I know leftovers is your favorite, so I'm going to give you some first. She just loves to aggravate me because I love to aggravate her. And so anyhow, I want you to know that tonight. And that little girl, praise God, I tell you what, she's constantly giving me the leftovers, amen. And so, yeah, friends, I want to say tonight, that's what the church does for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. After we took care of our business, after we've done everything we do for ourselves, after we can do everything we can do in the world and get away with, praise God, then we'll give the Lord some time if we've got it left over.
Yeah.
That ain't what Mary was saying. Mary said, I'll give it my all.
Right.
Well, the Bible says to give it all. He said, do all in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Brother, I'll tell you, I believe tonight with all of my heart, praise God, I'll give you my very best.
Yeah.
I believe, praise God, I tell you what, God gave the very first fruits. God gave the best that heaven could afford. And friends, I want to tell you something tonight. We owe him our best. And then the Bible said in verse number 16, and Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Friends, I want you to notice one thing tonight. I'm glad, thank God, he said, my sheep know my voice. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad we hear the voice of the Savior. I'm glad there is a voice. Oh, I'll tell you what, some of this cabinet's crowd, some of this other crowd, I'll tell you, beats anything that I've ever seen. I was preaching a meeting over in Wilkes County, and I got up there, and somehow I got to talking about the voice of God. And I did. I got talking about God speaking to his children. Honey, we find it over in John chapter number 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, a stranger, they will not follow. Because they know not the voice of strangers. And he said it about three different times. He said, my sheep know my voice. You'll find it in John chapter number 10. I'm preaching somewhere along them lines. Did you know the next morning that pastor was down at my house? And Brother God, I can tell you, if he had owned the gun, he'd probably shot me right in the eyeballs. And here I still got a couple of nights of that meeting to go. And he sat there for an hour and a half and telling me that God doesn't speak to his children. I said, now, preacher, I didn't say God spoke in an awful voice, but he could if he wanted to. I said, he's God. He's doing the thing he wants to do. I said, preacher, you mean to tell me that if there ain't never been a voice that run down through of a canyon to your soul and brother, get your undivided attention, there's never been a voice that, praise God, that come to you always lines up with the book. It'll always line up with the Word of God. I said, that's the preacher. And he said, look at me, and he said, why? It just don't happen.
Dead wrong.
Either he's wrong or God is a liar.
Right.
And we know God don't lie.
Amen.
And brother, I want you to know something right now. Praise God, there's been more. My wife cannot get me out of bed in the middle of the night. Now when I go to sleep, Brother Kevin, I'm gone.
You can steal the house, steal everything, the walls and all. Just don't move the bed and you won't bother me.
Someone was milling around the house one night. This is a true story. I'm glad my wife's here tonight.
God wouldn't believe that she wasn't here. But one night, somebody was outside, a pelging around outside. And my wife, she told me later, she said, I shook you, I beat on you, I hollered at you, and you would not wake up. And I could hear somebody outside doing whatever. And so anyhow, she gets one of my shotguns and she goes outside.
And praise God, she's going to get to the bottom of this beating and biting and crashing around. I'm telling you, the God's honest truth, preacher. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what woke me up, but I woke up and my wife's standing there at the bed with a shotgun.
I'm thinking, Lord God, I didn't know I snored that way. You wake up about 3 a.m. Praise God, and it pitch dark, and your wife's standing there beside the bed, a little night light on, and she's got a 12-gauge shotgun in her hands to see what you think. That's when you say, darling, what's the matter? Sweetheart, I still love you. What's going on? I looked over at her and I said, what are you doing? And she began to tell me, she said, well, I've done it a great deal except throw you out of bed and you wouldn't get up. Somebody was out there. And I said, and what did you do about it? She said, I went out there and I walked all the way around the house, had that shot get up. I had it ready. And she said, if anybody's moved, I'll shot them. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, I was on the inside instead of the outside. Amen. Brother, I tell you what, I said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, just go back to sleep. She said, I done checked it out. She said, anybody got their look on now? And I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm coming to bed. And I said, well, lay down for a minute, but one eye open, make sure she put that gun down before she come to bed. That woman put that gun up. Brother, I'll tell you something right now. Praise God. I want you to know something right now. Glory to God, but preacher, there's been more than a few times in my years. I've been saved for nearly 35 years. And I'll tell you what, about 2 o'clock in the morning of the kitchen, all of a sudden there's a voice that'll ring down up through the canyons of my soul. And it'll bring me out of a dead sleep. It'll get me on my feet. It'll get me in my living room with my Bible in my hand and my knees on the floor and my face buried in a chair or on the floor. And Lord, what do you want? God, what would you have me do? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm glad, thank God, they still a voice. A still small voice. That rings through the hearts of men. That'll still guide them. That'll still move them. I mean, once you heard the voice of the Lord, you know what happened to her. And the Bible said she heard.
That's right.
I'll promise you, it'll stop you dead in your tracks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was working one day back around this construction work. I'm waiting for it to come. By the way, I'm renting this church. I'm renting this church building. We ain't getting this church building done. We've had rain, and I'm way behind on this building. You should have had it done 2 or 3 weeks earlier. And that morning, God began to speak to me to go to Winston. There's a man down there, Mr. Crook. John A. Crook. I don't know if any of y'all know him tonight.
But God began to speak to me to go to Winston. I heard John A. had a heart attack. And John A.'s lost.
And God spoke to me all morning. Go to Baptist. And tell John A. about Jesus. Go to Baptist. About 1 o'clock that day, I told the men that we was working. I said, men, y'all clean up everything. I said, I've got to go to Baptist Hospital. I said, the Lord wants me to go see a man. And I said, we'll just come on back and we'll work tomorrow.
Hey, wait a minute now. Why we ain't working on the trouble?
I said, I don't care. I said, we ain't finishing out today either. I said, I'd have a little Winston to see John A. Crook. And I think I went home for sure. Told my wife, I said, honey, I got to go down to Winston. So I get all changed and get all cleaned up. And I drive as hard as I can down to Baptist Hospital. And I find out John A., I think it's on floor number 9 or something where something worth me there. And I tell you what, I go all the way up there before John A.'s at maybe 4-7. And I go all the way up to where he's at. And I go in that room and I said, Mr. Pruitt, do you remember me? I've never met you, but I'm too. I said, Mr. Pruitt, do you remember me? He said, yeah. He said, you're the preacher over the ribs there. I said, yes, sir, I sure am. And I said, Brother Pruitt, I said, Mr. Pruitt, God want me to come down and tell you about the Lord. And this is what he said, not me. And I said, Mr. Pruitt, I said, I know God want me to come see you. And I said, Mr. Pruitt, I said, God loves you. He don't want you to go to hell. He said, preacher, you got to leave now. He said, I'm too sick. He said, I can't talk right now. You got to get out now. And he run me out of that room. And his wife over there and said, John, hey, now calm down. Preacher just want to come see you, John. Preacher just want to get everybody called John. Hey, John, hey, he just want to come by. And he said, the Lord sent him down here, boy. He had a godly wife. She had lived with him for years and him lost. And anyhow, I'll tell you what, John A. just helped me. He said, you got to leave now. Just get out now. So I get out of that room, and preacher, I'll tell you what. Knowing that God told me to go down there. I walk down that hallway just like a beat-up young man.
I felt like a little old young man. Somebody just come and stole every toy I had, took all my candy, took everything that meant anything to me, kicked my puppy, stomped my little kitten, and just beat me up. I went down that hallway, feel like I didn't beat to death. I got on that elevator, went all the way down to the floor I'm to get off on. And about that time, all of a sudden, God reminded me, did you know, there's just one of this wild boy. He was in a car a few days ago and he broke his back. And I didn't really know his name, so I go over to the desk. I thought, well, I'm already down here. I'll go up and see that boy. If there's any other Wilds here, I don't know who I'll see. But I went over to the desk. I said, do you have a young man here by the name of Wilds? He's got a broken back. And I said, and sure enough, they said, yes. And so I go up to see him, and I walk in the room. I said, son, how's it going? And he said, ain't too good. He's telling me all of his troubles. I said, son, I said, how's things between you and God? He said, ain't good at all. I said, would you like to be saved? He said, I'd love to. I tell you, hallelujah to God. I got talking to him, and that young man, he got saved by the grace of God. Along about the time he got saved, his girlfriend come walking in the room. And I tell you what, that young man looked over and told his girlfriend, that I just want to tell you, I just got saved. Yeah. Lord God, in about 5 minutes, she's under conviction, and she's on her knees, and she got saved. Hallelujah, and my mama sitting over in the corner, and mommy said his words, and all of a sudden, mama bailed up out of that chair, and mama said, I'd like to get saved. Hallelujah to God. And then there was another one come in the room, a relative, a cousin, or something, and they got saved. Hallelujah to God. I had more than get saved there in about 30 minutes. I'm going out of that hospital rejoicing, and I'm praising God, but still, burned to death for Johnny. But guess what happened? About 5 minutes after I left that room, Johnny looked over his wife and said, honey, I got to get saved right now. Will you pray with me?
Amen.
They've got him tied to every tube, I believe, none of the man.
Mm.
He's laying in the bed, he's about dead, he ain't got strength enough for a nap. And Johnny said, if you'll help me out of this bed, I've got to get on my knees. And she said, Johnny, you can't do that. I said, it could kill me. And he said, oh, well, if it's okay. But he said, before I come to God, I'm going to get on my knees. And about the whole elevator got to the bottom floor. Old Johnny Pruitt just got saved.
Glory.
Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
I didn't find that out until a day or two later by Johnny. Lord, if I read a chapter 11 and 4,
yeah.
I think this could have somebody call me and tell me about Johnny getting saved. I don't tell me there ain't a voice. Hallelujah to God. That'll put you on the move. Why, he'll take a younger county boy and put him in a whole very island. And not only that, my brother's got that boy to move him in a way. He'll take his sweetheart. He'll take his girl. He'll move his whole family to Ireland. And you say, preacher, what makes them do that? And it's because God said do it. There is a voice.
Yes, there is.
It's real. And friends, it'll turn you and it'll move you. And thank God for the voice.
Yes.
And friends, I'll tell you what tonight. I'm glad he's a common man's Savior. We ought to do all we can. And then I'm glad there's a voice that'll move us. And then the Bible said, she called him Rabboni, which is to say Master. Preacher, he knows everything.
Right.
He knows it all.
Amen.
He knows the beginning from the end.
Right.
He knows everything in the middle.
Right.
Praise God, he's already told us in this book how it's all going to turn out.
Yes.
You know what it is tonight? He's the Master of life.
Yes, he is.
He's the Master of life. If you really want to live life tonight, and you want to have abundant life, you want to have real life, you want to have life that's full, you want to have life, praise God, that there's peace in that life, you want to have life that brings joy, and you want to have life that brings contentment, you want to have life that has some purpose behind it. If you really want to have life, why don't you get your life over to the Master? He's the Master. He's the Master. Friends, I'll tell you something tonight. I believe that God wants you to do any one thing. I surrender all.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even have tried to sing yet. I should have let that brother sing. I surrender all.
Right.
I want to ask you a good question tonight. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have.
Yes.
What a wonderful Savior. Oh, praise God, preacher. I think about somebody, an old wretch like me. clothed in filthy rags.
Right. Yep.
All my righteousness is this filthy rags.
Right.
Lord God, I'm wearing a robe of flesh that's rotten to the core. The Bible says the heart, who can know it?
Right.
Or it's desperately wicked.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Good gracious. You know what we are? We're just rich.
Right.
We're a shambles.
Yes.
Without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And what He wants you to do tonight is let Him be your master. Be your master.
Yes.
He sure does.
That's right.
He wants to give you abundant life. He wants to open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing in your heart, have room enough to receive. I know that promise was only made to tithers. You're right with God. I believe you'll tithe. Amen.
Right.
I believe that. God says, if you don't believe me, He said, I open the windows of heaven to tithe me. Friend, I want you to know this one thing tonight. He's real.
Yeah.
And praise God, He loves you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to come and the organist. And while they come tonight to play softly, I'll have the man of God, if he would, to come to the front. You remain seated just for a moment. Just remain seated. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just for a few moments. And I just feel like God would have me to do it that way, and I don't really know why. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I want to ask you a question tonight as I look over the folks in this building tonight. And I ask you the question, is Jesus your master tonight? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? She came down to the tomb and said, where have you laid my Lord? She said, He's my Lord. He's the love of my life. He's my Father's prayer. He's my all in all. He's my everything. He's my Lord. What I'm going to ask you tonight to do tonight, just let it be yours, let it be my Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He loves you tonight. Whatever you want tonight, just go ahead and stand before you first. Let's put that hand up for Him very quickly. And that preacher, I really want Jesus to be my Lord. My Savior. I bet He made some things in the whole thing. Right, right, right.
Thank you.
being an old-fashioned altar tonight, I want you to come. Brother Kevin, get us a verse of a song, if you would. We're going to sing one verse of a song tonight. The altar's open.
I think God's invitation is free. Are you willing to come and say, Lord, I need to hear from you? Are you willing to step out and say, God, I want to hear from you more than I want anything? Are you willing to come and say, God, I surrender all?
God, I need to hear from you. And tonight you're my Lord and my Master. I need to hear from you, Lord. I need to hear from you. What number we have?
Number 347.
Get your book. We're going to sing one verse. I want you to come tonight. God's speaking to you.
God's wanting to help you. God's wanting to stand something in your life. God's wanting to get some things just exactly what they need to be in your life. Oh, listen to the words of this song. Listen. Would you come tonight? Would you come? Do you mean what you're saying? Why don't you just come tonight and say, Lord, I surrender all. Oh, God, I give you my all. God, I just lay it all on the altar. God, I give it all to you tonight.
Would you come tonight? Would you come? Would you please tonight?
Does speak to our hearts. He really does. My sheep know my voice, he said.
Hey.
He can tell you what to do and not to do. Somebody said, is it audible? No, it's louder than that. It's louder than that. You know. He speaks through his word. He speaks through people, circumstances. There's many ways, and it all points in one direction. God is not the author of confusion. If he wants you to do something, it'll be abundantly clear. And I'm glad we can know. I'm glad we can know we're on the right road. Anybody have a word on your heart before we dismiss the service? Revival is personal.
You can have revival if nobody else does.
Everybody else can have revival. That wouldn't mean you have revival. That'll be your choice. Your surrender. Your individual surrender. We win by surrender. We live by dying. We have by giving. The way up is down. All those are paradoxes, but they're true. And the Lord, when you put your life in His hands, He'll not take advantage of you. He's not about to cheat you or abuse you. Just put the reins in His hands, give Him absolute control. He'll do far more with your life than you could do on your own. It's a wise investment. Never hesitate. Give Him absolute control. He is a wonderful Savior tonight. Marvelous. And I trust it will. Serve. Everybody can say, I love Jesus. That means very little.
Amen.
It's for life that proves it.
Amen.
It's for life. It validates it or proves it's not true. We all preach a sermon every day for the life that we live. We're all the only Bible somebody reads.
Amen.
We're all an advertisement for the gospel. And we need to be aware of that. And all hearts clear. Remember tomorrow night, come back praying. Spend time tomorrow praying for the service. Invite somebody to be with you. And I appreciate this time preaching. Amen. I love it. I can just sit there for hours and hours and hours. Don't get old. Somebody told me today they were watching the news and said everything they reported was bad. Well, that's what they always do. Have you ever heard good news on the news? One time they invited me down to Channel 3 to give up something about America, back when I was making speeches about America. So they had about 59 minutes of bad news and they were going to give 1 minute to something good. That's about the way it still is. Oh, but I'm glad we've got some good news right here.
Amen.
This is the answer for America. This is the answer for our families. For everybody you know. And I'm glad we have it. I'm glad we're not in the dark. We're not ignorant. And I pray the Lord for the truth. Larry, I hope y'all stand at the back, please. We're going to shake hands with you. Everybody get your pen, leave the last one. Pray for Brother Larry. We thank God for Larry and Opal. We try to pray for him. Our missionaries. We need our prayers. Ms. Parker's out in the hospital. We thank the Lord for that. Olin King needs our prayers. We all need prayer. Sure do. Appreciate Jordan being here tonight. Same. Thank you, Jordan. He's awful quiet tonight. He'll make up for it. He's a blessing. Appreciate it being here. Remember tomorrow night, let's dismiss. Brother Frank, would you pray for us?
Father, we come to thee once again, Father, just to thank you for this blessed night, my Father, for the word, for the way to deliver, for the liberty and the power that you give, Brother. Father, I just ask you to help us as we leave, my Father, guide us and lead us on the way back to our houses, my Father, that you'll be with us, my Father, that we may do what you have us to do, if we find favor in your eye. Father, I ask that you just help us find our way back here tomorrow and invite and pray for it, my Father. We may find time with you, my Father, to put everything we do and everything we think of to put you first. Father, I come to you to ask that these things be done. Bring your name, Lord, in all things. I ask these things to be done in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.